Happy feast day. Bona festa. You can go through all the languages and it's all the same. But today, because we are under the patronage of the evangelist Luke, we have the privilege in all the church, along with all the other St. Luke's churches, of moving the feast day from its proper day to the Sunday nearest. It's a rule in our prayer book. And so it's something that we are entitled to do because of what's happening. And what's happening is a simple thing. One more year has passed. One more trip around the sun. And I know without the sun, it seems just a little more chilly than usual. But that's in part because the sun that glows in the boiler room isn't quite there yet. It takes time for sun to move. In old Greek mythology, it was Apollo who dragged the sun across the sky. It was that kind of reality that was something you could depend on. It was as regular, as they may say, as regular as time. That's exactly the way we tell time. Passing of the sun and the moon, dawn and dusk, and then the change in our region of the world, the change of seasons. Summer is followed by autumn, followed by winter with the promise of spring. And it is for these many years that a congregation has gathered in this place, this being the 139th anniversary of the dedication of this building. Now, that doesn't mean that the parish is 139 years old. The parish existed long before this beautiful building was erected. And it's a fundamental reality that we have to grab hold of, is that when we say church, we are not talking merely about the building that we inhabit, but rather, as we have in the scriptures, the word that is translated church tells us it is a gathering. It is a gathering. And so in a very real way, whether we were here or in a park, a little too cold for that today, during the summer when we have our church picnic, it's not exceptional to do that. Because after all, it is the church that gathers. It is the people that come together to remember, to celebrate, and to hope for the future. And so today, we celebrate our St. Luke's Day with a grand celebration of worship this morning and then a bit of lunch to follow after. I guess there's more than a bit of lunch, but it's there, ready for our taking. As is true in our worship, that every time we begin to worship, we begin to realize that the Word of God that has been with us from the very beginning, when God used a word to begin the creation of the world, that word has been with us always. And it is variously written and interpreted in Holy Scripture, and we receive it yet again today, always ready for the taking. And then we are privileged to gather around the holy table, as our prayer book calls it, the altar of the Lord, where we celebrate and remember the marvelous things that Jesus has done for us in time, in history, by giving up himself, as a message of ultimate love, the love that God has for each and every one of us, as he gives up his life on the cross. Then quickly we move to remembering that glorious resurrection and his ascension. sending of the Spirit that we so marvelously remembered in the tongues of flame window here in this building is a constant reminder of who we are. For that, some would say, is the beginning in earnest of the church. Why? Why is that the beginning in earnest of the church? Simply because it was finally when the disciples realized the gifts they had in the Holy Spirit that they were able to go out into the world and to proclaim good news to people. That they were able to go out into the world and tell the message of Jesus. They were able to go out in the world, and it seems in every language known to humankind, they were able to give the teachings of Jesus as he explains to us the way of Christ, which is the way of love. It was at that first Pentecost, when those tongues of fire, images of divine love, settled upon those disciples, that we were given our mandate, that we were given our charge. We hear it even in the life of Jesus. Today in the gospel lesson, we hear how he went to synagogue and said, as was his custom. He was a regular churchgoer, so to speak. And he was selected to read that day. So he goes up to the place where the holy scrolls were kept and unrolls the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and we hear those wonderful words. The Lord has anointed me. The Lord has chosen me to do all of those marvelous things that are listed in that lesson. And then it is said, he rolls up the scroll and sits down. And while he is seated, he says, today, this has been fulfilled in your hearing. Now, there are some scripture scholars who would want that translated a little bit differently. Because really, it is the present perfect, I believe it's supposed to be, if any grammarians are here, that it's not over and done with. In other words, it wasn't simply the ministry of Jesus, and once Jesus did it, it was done. But rather, it was a ministry that began in that moment, a moment which is in the past, but then continues into the future. And that ministry, that mission, was entrusted to none other than those first disciples on that first Pentecost day. Indeed, because it was entrusted to them these many years, it is equally entrusted to us to proclaim liberty to captives, to take care of the poor, to bring all people into an awareness of the immeasurable love of our God. That is the mission to which Jesus is called, and that is a singular mission he has laid upon us. It is interesting that we have the Gospel of Luke today on this feast of St. Luke, and that we have claimed St. Luke as our patron. Since these are the opening verses of Luke's mandate for Jesus' ministry, it means that they must form the mandate for our ministry. If we would follow in the steps of St. Luke, then we need to study his gospel carefully, and as we have said before, his gospel does not end with the book called the Gospel of Luke, but rather continues into yet another volume, the Acts of the Apostles. And it is there that we see, finally, in a real way, how the church starts with Jesus and those first disciples and begins its spread, soul by soul, through the entire world. And it is because of that message that you and I are here today. It is because of that message that we are able to hear and know and understand and feel deep in our hearts the abiding message of God's love. But the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles do not allow anyone simply to receive that wonderful gift and just sort of store it up. It is given to us always for a purpose. Scripture teaches us clearly that God does nothing in this world that does not redound to the glory of God, that does not take us into the very presence of God, that does not actually make us part of God's life. So if in fact we are called into this relationship with God and we are given certain gifts to use, it is imperative, it is demanded of us, not by words, but by our understanding, that those gifts are given for me and you to use for the sake of the kingdom of God. Whatever they may be, it is sometimes our need to discover what they are. And so we are engaged in this middle of our annual membership campaign to do just that, to discover what our spiritual gifts are. And everyone has at least one. No exceptions. Full stop. That is the promise of God. That is the full teaching of the gospel. If we think we are unworthy to have a gift of the Spirit, then we are sadly mistaken. And we need to bring ourselves round right. Just like when you submit an exam paper to a teacher and you see that a question is marked wrong, it's not simply to put you down that you didn't know the answer. It is so that you would learn what is right. So true, too, is it with us that if we feel that we have no gifts and that is a wrong answer, then we need to get busy about the business of discovering what it is that God has given. And then, of course, we bring it here. That is indeed what we offer at the Holy Table every time we gather. It is the community's gifts as they come together that can tell us what our specific mission is in the mind and the heart of God. It is when those gifts are placed together that all of us are stronger for being together, for none of us can go it alone. It is when these gifts are placed together and offered to God, like anything that is given to God, already in abundance, it is blessed, and God sends it out into the world for our benefit and our grace. And this constant coming and going, bringing gifts and receiving gifts, this dynamic is the very energy of the church. It is the power of the Spirit alive in us. It is the power we memorialize in that window. So if you love this building, if you love that window, if you love the things that you have associated with this parish, then I simply ask you today, open your hearts to the real message of Luke, a message which calls us to be like Jesus, to listen to the mission that Jesus was with which Jesus was commissioned, and make it our own. When we do this, we will have all we need. When we do this, we, surprisingly, will look in the mirror and see none other than Jesus himself.